So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. Every blessing you blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. No matter what we're going through, the Lord can help us through it. We just have to have that faith. We just have to believe, because he loves us so much. There isn't anything he won't do for us. So as he calls to us, let us not pass him by. Thank you.
Isn't God good? Let's give him another hand clap of praise for what he's done for us. Because we really, truly do have a friend in Jesus. He really does want the very best for us. All we have to do is have that faith and just reach out to him and know that he has love for you no matter what. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We do thank you for the promises that you've given us. And we do thank you for the grace that you've given us. Allow us to remember that. Allow us to have the faith and believe in that. For your love surpasses all understanding. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the grace you've given us. Lord, we ask a special blessing over those that are here, those that could not be here, those that are sick. Any illness, Father, please wipe it out. Lord, we ask that you bless this church, bless the pastor, and bless the direction you would like all of us to go. Lord, we thank you for that. In your wonderful name, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be with each and every one of you after a week of fun and rest and relaxation with Kathy and her family. It's good to be back and, you know, excited to see what God is going to do because, friends, God has a plan. He has a mission for all of us to be on, and we need to follow along where he's leading, and we will be astonished with what he does. Before we continue this time of praise and worship, I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward, and I just want to highlight one other announcement on the back of your bulletin. You will notice that the junior high ministry here, serving with a major purpose, for the youth entering in fifth grade through eighth grade, they're having a Friday night camp out and Saturday activities. Now, the junior hires don't have to go through the camp out. They can just show up on Saturday morning and take part in a picnic and games and fun and all of those things. But if you have a junior hire or if you have a family member that is in junior high that would be interested in that, go to the website, which is www.gibsonburgtrinity.org, and they need to register on the website. They will be down at White Star this Friday and Saturday, and as I mentioned, they don't have to camp out. They can just show up on Saturday and take part in the fun, in all of the activities, and I believe by 1 o'clock that afternoon, everything will be complete. And so it could be just a wonderful opportunity for your junior hires in your family to get to know some other Christians, some other followers of Christ, and so make note of that. Rachel has an announcement, so I'm going to give her the mic and turn it over to her for a minute or two.
Okay. Well, instead of doing a post-vacation Bible school meeting, we wanted to alleviate everyone and an hour of your time. And so if you volunteered with Vacation Bible School instead, we are doing a survey questionnaire. And you can go also to the website for that too. And if you don't do internet, there's some that are printed out and they're outside in the fellowship hall there. So I want to hear from everybody. I want to hear, you know, all the positives because we had a really awesome week and anything that you guys feel might be good if it was changed. So, and also just to follow up, you know, Lauren and Leanne are doing a great job with Swamp and they mm-hmm. just want to have an opportunity to fellowship with those kids. So like Pastor Max said, if you guys.
Yep, cool. Cool. Thank you, Rachel. At this time, Children's Church is dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. Please make note of the other announcements on the back of your bulletin, and as the Spirit of God moves you, may you be a part of what He is leading you to do. Let's turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Our reading today is out of 1 Timothy. You can turn to page 1845. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. This is our reading from the Word of God. May the ushers come forward for the offering.
Oh,
blessings you have given this church. As a part of those blessings, we submit to you our gifts, our tithes, and our offering, and ask that they be used beneficially for the kingdom of God. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated. This morning, we were finishing our series titled The Most Important Thing, and if you're wondering what the most important thing is, it's love. And it's love, love, love. It's not just any type of love. The Apostle Paul, when he penned this letter to Timothy, who was at the church in Ephesus, he wrote to Timothy and he said, the aim of our charge, the aim of our command, the essence of everything that we strive to do is to love. You see, friends, it's not about what you know. It's not about what you do. And let's get that straight. It's not about what you know. You can know the Bible from front cover to the back cover. You can know all you want about church history. You can know all you want about Jesus, but it's not about that. It's not even about what you're involved in. It's not about the ministries that you serve in. It's not about what you are activists in. It's not about what you are a proponent of. It's about love. A four-letter word. A bad word. It ought to be a bad word. Maybe we get our attention. Love. Not love that the world says we need to love like. It's love that comes from a source that is God, but it's love that comes from a pure heart. Several weeks we looked at that. It's love that comes from a good conscience. Last week, Greg shared with you about love that comes from a good conscience. This week, it also comes from a sincere faith. That's the aim. That's the essence. Jesus summed up the entire commands of the law and the prophet into two commands. And essentially what he said is he said, love God and love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the problem is that sometimes we're like we were when we grew up. I grew up in a neighborhood and we played this game called hide and seek. Have you ever played?
Yeah.
Have you? You know, you have the call at the end when somebody's finally tagged as it, and you have the ollie ollie oxen free, right? You play that? You know, and everybody comes out from hiding, and part of the fun is seeing where people were hiding, right? And you always have that one kid. You always got that one kid that's too good of a hider, right? They're always the last one to come out. They won't tell you where they hide. They won't tell you where they're at. They won't tell you what they're doing. It's a secret place. You see, sometimes I think in our Christian journey, we too have those secret places. And we fall into the trap as Adam did in the Garden of Eden after he made a misstep and he tried to hide from God. And God being the eternal it, if you will. He says, Adam, where art thou? As if he didn't even know. And he goes and searches for Adam. You see, this morning I want to take a couple brief moments and talk about what faith is. But that's not the element. You all are here this morning, and I'm here to believe that you have faith in the risen Christ. Amen? And if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. But it's the type of faith. It's that adjective that Paul puts before faith. And it's that word sincere that should cause our skin to crawl. It should cause us to gasp and say, what does that mean? You see, we get stumbled on and tripped up on believing a certain set of doctrines, a certain set of beliefs. Or we get stumbled or we get tripped up on doing a certain set of things. And we never think about where it's coming from and the core of our being. And so I just want to briefly just run through what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You see, we could take time right now this morning and we could see and hear about how God is at work. Yesterday during the lead team meeting, we heard about God at work. The kids from VBS coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We heard about that. We heard about the opportunity that an individual was on the street sharing God's love with people that they didn't even know. We heard about that. We heard about God's protection from an accident. We heard about those friends. You see, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, Now, hope in that sense is not an uncertain thing. It's a confident expectation, knowing that God will do what only God can do. And so if we have faith, we know that God is at work, and it's the conviction of things not seen, the conviction that what God says in His Word will come to pass. He says He's coming again. He's coming again, friends. We may not know the day nor the time nor the hour, but the fact of the matter is He's coming again. That's the biblical definition of what faith is. The second thing is we can notice that faith is a gift. Faith doesn't come from you or me. And let's get that straight. It doesn't come from you or me. It's a gift from God. If you want more faith, maybe you need to get on your knees and on your face and ask God to give you more faith. And I'm here to tell you, you better be careful when you pray such a prayer, because He's probably going to bring trials and struggles and different difficulties into your life, because that is the fulcrum. That's the element or the situation where our faith is grown. You see, Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought or she ought to think, but to think soberly, clearly, without influence, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." You see, God has given you and I a measure of faith. It's almost like a baking term. A measure of faith, a pinch of this and a dash of that. And that's what God has given to you. And it's our responsibility what we do with it. I could take you to the Gospel of Luke, and we could see that, you know, the faith is small as a mustard seed, but it grows to be the biggest tree in the garden, where the birds of the air nest in it. But yet it's not about what we know. It's about what we actively employ and live out. The third thing that we can see about faith, it's a responsibility. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One other element of growing your faith is not only praying and seeking God, but it's about getting in your Word. It's about attending church. You see, that's one of the things that just confuses me. People say, you know what? Okay, I can miss church. And then they wonder why their faith is weak. They wonder why they struggle. They wonder why they get tossed to and fro. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to grow your faith, you will be here. You will expose yourself to good biblical teaching. And I'm not saying that I'm the best biblical teacher. Heaven forbid that. I understand my limitations. But what I'm saying is that you need to be in God's Word. Get involved in a small group on Wednesday night, the women's group, the men's group. Scott's leading a group titled Fight. Come to that. You want to grow your faith? Open yourself up to what God would have you do and learn and employ. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. The fourth thing that we can see is faith is an action. 1 John 3:17-18 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth." And then James goes on, and he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but not has works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit?" You see, faith is not a static thing. Faith is not a thing that we don't do anything of. This week I heard of about a young man who suddenly was kicked out of his home by his dad, and then he moved in with his mother, and she kicked him out, and the only person that would care for him was his uncle. His uncle died, and then his grandmother took him in, and his grandmother died, and he found himself living in his car. Somebody took him in. He's living with somebody. Couldn't graduate high school because he was tossed back and forth between, you know, he's a senior. All he's got is clothes on his back and his car. I said to the individual sharing this with me, I said, that's the church. That's what the church should be. The church shouldn't say, go and be well. The church should say, hey, come with me, and I'll give you what you need. That is the church, friends. That is what alive and well faith looks like. It doesn't say, hey, you know what? I wish you well. I'll pray for you. No, it says, come on. Your burden is my burden. Your struggle is my burden. You see, sometimes we get caught up on what we know. And we grab our Bibles and we say, yeah, I know James. I've read it. Or we get caught up on what ministries we're involved in. And we miss the glaring obvious. And we become like the rich man who passed Lazarus every single day. And he had the dogs licking his sores every single day. And then yet, Lazarus goes to be with the Lord and the rich man went somewhere else. You see, it's an action. Faith is an action. My hope for Trinity United Methodist Church is that we would have this type of faith. We would have the faith that would be employed. It would be activated. It would be, you know, just not only in prayer, but we would see the needs. And friends, I believe that we do that. I truly do. But the needs are many in this world. The needs are great. And we can't rest on our laurels. We can't sit on our hands. We have to be people of action. We have to be people of faith. We have to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak. We must do that. And faith is an action. And this is where it really gets sticky. Lastly, faith must be sincere. There's that adjective again. Faith that is sincere. You see, as in hide and seek, you know, the original text, the word for sincere is hypocrisis. It's the word that we get hypocrite from. It's a theater term. And I'll remind all of you, Beauty and the Beast, not that that's one of my favorite movies. I'll attest to that. But it's a great illustration. You had the Beast who was living in the cellars of the theater, correct? You had Beauty, who he's not wherever he's living. I don't know. All I know is he had a mask on, right? Phantom of the Opera. Thank you. I got the wrong Disney movie. Thank you. Phantom of the Opera. Yes, that's the one. Thank you. But he had a mask on. You see, hypocrisis, hypocrite, means to hide behind. It's like a game of hide and seek where we try to hide, for we're fearful of what we will be exposed as. Hypocrisis, it was about a term that says to literally put on a mask. You see, in our world, you know, people that don't come to church, they say, yeah, you know what, there's a bunch of hypocrites over there. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. That's exactly what Paul is speaking out against, that we ought not be. It's about high time that some of us take our masks off. This morning, we're going to celebrate the Lord's communion. And I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He loves you with a love that is unquenchable. He loves you with a love that is unfathomable. He loves you with a love that is unstoppable. He loves you with a love that is indescribable. He loves you with a love that it's incomprehensible. And yet sometimes we approach communion, the bread and the cup, and we say, I can't release that or expose that to God. And sometimes I think it's a fear of what God will do. And God will open his arms to you, friends, and to me, and he will say, come to me, my son, come to me, my daughter, and let me love you. You see that word sincere? Sincerity means truthfulness. It means honest. It means openness. It's about high time that when we go to our Bible studies, that we take off the mask and we stop hiding. We become transparent and vulnerable with our brothers and sisters in Christ who know that have our best interest at heart. It's about high time that we begin to live out what it means to be sincere in our faith. I'm here to tell you that until we do that, we will never love as Jesus loved. It's impossible. You can't, I can't love as God loved if we are not sincere in our faith. We're playing a game. It's all about what I know. My Bible's over here. Or it's all about what I'm doing. The ministries I'm involved in over here. They can be noble things. But if you're not open and honest, how can you expect to meet God? You see the individual that took that guy in? Truth be told, that young man, that 18-year-old that was left with the clothes on his back and his car to live in. Truth be told, the man that said, yeah, you can come and live with me, he lived out of his car in the past. You see, that's what sincerity looks like. The Phantom of the Opera says, I'm going to take off my mask and I'm going to expose all my warts, all my flaws, all my failures and everything to God, and I am going to allow him to love me. You see, when we throw on the mask in theater, we're just play acting. We're just trying to be something we're not. Years ago, when I was at Maplewood Christian Church, I worked with the recovery ministries, and it was something that God put on my doorstep. And I would meet people at the door, and here's the reason why. I learned early and often that you have an individual who's struggling with an addiction, and they would literally walk up to the door of a church, and they would physically be shaking. They'd be shaking so much because of the shame, the self, you know, loathing of everything that they go through. Then they would look at me and they would say, you know what, I never thought I would darken the door of a church again. I'd shake their hand. Come on in, brother. Come on in, sister. We're all in this together. And then you would see them slowly but surely enter into the church. You see, they were open. They were honest. Truth be told, Thursday nights over at Maplewood Christian Church, that was the highlight of my week, and I'll tell you the reason why. That sincerity word right there. That word sincere, I didn't have to feel like I had to be anything. I could go in there and I could say, you know what, guys, I'm struggling today. I could go in there and say, you know what, yeah, I'm really fighting it today. The church could take a lesson from AA and NA. The church could take a true lesson. Because what we do is we shoot our wounded many times. We get on those who are struggling and we say, you got to be better than that. Or we just merely dismiss them. You ever go into a church or someplace? Hey, how are you doing? Good morning. How are you? And you start to share and somebody turns, walks the other way. I've had it happen. A friend of mine, we used to say, we want to walk up to people and say, do you really care? That sincere word right there. People will know if you're sincere or not. They will know by your love. They will know by how you love them. They will know if you are sincere in what you say or if all you're saying is just a mirror of empty words. They will know because of your love. You see, Jesus said it this way, and he said, you know what? They will know that you are my disciples by your love. This morning, as we meet around the Lord's table, don't you think it's about high time we take off the mask? If you can't take the mask off at the table of love with the God, the only God, who laid down his life for you, you won't be able to take the mask off anywhere. I implore you, I challenge you all, take the mask off. Quit hiding. Don't be that kid that's such a good hider that you got to call Ollie Oxen Free, because God's calling, friends. God is calling. He's the eternal it, and he's calling you, and he's calling me. He's calling us to come home right here because we are home free because of what Jesus did and all he accomplished and what we could never do. This morning, Jesus is saying, Ollie Oxen Free, take off the mask. Come home. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the love that you lavished upon all of us. We thank you, Jesus, for being the embodiment of love, love incarnate, love that put on flesh. We thank you for that, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the challenge. We need to get real with you, so that we can love as you have loved us. Oh God, we thank you for the table of love, the table of communion. We thank you, Heavenly Christ, for your sacrifice, laying down your life, giving up your life that we might live. Father, help us. Give us courage to take the mask off with you and to receive your love fully, the healing nature of it. Protect us from the lies of the enemy. Lord Christ, we thank you. We know that you will receive us, for you are calling. You're calling us all to come home. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup. We ask that you would bless the bread and bless the cup, and that you would meet us during this time. And you would find us faithful in following you and meeting with you without any masks, without trying to be something we're not. For we know you will receive us just as we are. We thank you for that, O God. We bless you for that. Meet with us around your table, we ask. And may you be praised and honored and glorified because of it. We thank you, O Jesus. In the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he blessed it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance." And likewise, Jesus then took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." Friends, we have an open communion table here. If you're not a member, please come. Please come. We will not turn anyone away. If you can't come up the aisle, we will bring the elements to you this morning. We would love to do that. You'll come down the center aisle if you're able, and if you're not, we will bring the elements to you. You'll come down the center aisle and you'll depart and go back to your pew on either side. So as the Holy Spirit of God leads you and prompts you, won't you join us and meet around the table of our Lord Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we know we don't need to wear a mask. We don't need to be that kid that is the best hider. We can bear all, we can share all with you, and you will receive us in love. Father, we thank you for this time, celebration of communion and what that means. We thank you, O God. May we become people of love in honesty, sincerity, and truthfulness. May we bless your heart by how we love you and others in this world. We thank you, O Christ. In the wonderful name of the risen Savior Jesus, we do pray. Amen. It's our tradition here at Trinity to take up a benevolent offering after communion. And the benevolent offering goes to help those within our congregation with needs such as food and utility bills, or, you know, possibly a portion of their rent. And so as the ushers come, may we give back a portion sacrificially. This is different than the general offering, friends. This is something for a ministry, a gift of love to help those in a time of need.
Where of these afflictions he lifts my glory. Now
Depart this morning, may the God of love, may he lavish upon your soul, upon your heart and mind, his love, the depth, the unfathomability of it. May he fill you with his love, and may you be agents of love in this world. May you be people of love as you and I depart and go. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the love of Christ sustain you. May it fill your heart, mind, and soul, and may you give that love away each and every step of each and every day. May you and I depart in peace. Amen.